Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong, but most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of Mumfessions, please hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening. And if you would like extra tools, please go and visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Coming up this week.
Currently, I definitely don't feel like a mother. I mean, I know I'm responsible for these two children, but there's times where I think I suffer from an imposter syndrome.
I remember turning like 28, 29. Now suddenly I've woken up and I'm 38 with three children. Like, who gave them to me?
And I know I should be happy and grateful that all that matters is that we have a healthy baby, but I never thought I'd be a mum to boys.
It's just different to what you imagined. So what do you need between now and when your little boy arrives?
You don't have to do it all. But the expectation, the judgment and the guilt are there all the time.
A man might have five things to do in a day and he gets those five things done. Well done. Isn't he amazing? A mother might have 20 things to do in a day and we're getting seven or eight things done and we feel like we're failing. Today's episode is sponsored by Rescue Remedy, a brand that has been trusted for over 80 years. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during some of the more challenging days of motherhood. A must-have for any busy mum. So here's something that happened to me this week that I think a lot of you might relate to, so I'm going to share it. I am a certified people pleaser. I'm also an autistic woman, which means I have spent most of my life masking things. I do everything I possibly can to make people like me. I'm always polite, I always have composure, and it's generally at the expense of my needs. I had an interaction this week that left me unmasked, and it was to do with my little girl. So I was having an interaction with a group of professionals. I won't go into detail. And to this point, I have been very composed, very professional. Yes, please. Always trying to be that really nice Laura, because my biggest fear is, what if they don't like me? What if I've done something that means they now won't help me? So we were on a phone conversation and it got a little heated. And I, for want of a better word, unmasked. I got quite unprofessional. I lost my composure. I may have even raised my voice. And when the call ended, I could feel this massive rush of adrenaline running through me. And I knew the logical part of my brain is now gone. I am in full adrenaline mode. I felt absolute fear. I felt like I'd failed my daughter because all I could think was, you've let the mask off, Laura. You've been rude. They're not going to like you. They're not going to help you now. What must they think of you? You're a really bad person. In the moment, I physically felt like there was an electric current. And my brain, because I'm autistic, is very action orientated. I don't like to sit in my emotions. It was very much what needs to happen to fix this. So I straight away got onto my friend who's also autistic. And I shared with her what happened. I'm this awful person. I'm so rude. Oh my goodness. What must they think? And her response was just magic. And it was, Laura, you're not rude. You didn't lose your composure. Mama Bear came out. And when Mama Bear comes out, you don't have to have composure and you don't have to be polite because you were advocating for your little girl. So it's absolutely okay. Part of what helped me calm down from all of this was trying to think about, why did I lose my composure? What was it that made me maybe lose my temper? And it made me quite sad. It was because I don't want her to have the same experiences as me. I want her to have support that I didn't have. And these people are blocking that. They're stopping it from happening. So I instantly stopped criticizing myself and recognized, you are being Mama Bear. You are fighting for your little girl. You are making sure she doesn't have the same experiences as you. And that inner critic suddenly turned into almost congratulating myself and saying, well done. Because again, we spoke about this in previous episodes. Being a good mom, even though there's no such thing as a bad or a good mom, doesn't have to mean sitting on the floor playing, being 100% mindful all of the time, giving them all of your attention, giving all of yourself to them. Sometimes it can mean unleashing Mama Bear to advocate for them and maybe lose your cool with someone that maybe needs to hear it. So I often talk about mum rage, and I don't call that mum rage. I call it depleted reserves. But actually, sometimes rage is a good thing if it's advocating for your children. And sometimes anger can be a powerful tool if we channel it in the right way. So I have no apologies about leaving my mask off, losing my composure, and maybe being a little bit unprofessional. Because when it comes to my children, I will be mama bear. I will let that rage roar, and I will have no apologies. Okay, I am excited to hear the first mumfession. Let's give it a play.
The most challenging aspect of motherhood for me currently would be waking multiple times at night. I have an 8-month-old and a 3.5-year-old. The most challenging thing I find really with that is, you know, having to function the next day 100%, just really keeping up with everything. You know, I think life doesn't really throw you any life raft when it comes to that. You know, like, it's not like you can stop doing what you're always, like, what you need to do the next day, even though you've been up all night. I definitely find that the most difficult. I've always struggled with lack of sleep, to the point where I actually think I deal with, like, a level of insomnia now, where, like, I can't sleep very easily now anymore because I've had so many nights of sleep disturbance. Just kind of not really feeling like a mother, like, knowing you're responsible for two small children, but not really feeling like you are actually a mother. Like, I'm not sure how one is to feel like a mother. I think it's definitely something maybe that you feel as you maybe, you know, maybe as you get older, I'm not sure, but currently I definitely don't feel like a mother. I mean, I know I'm responsible for these two children, but there's times where I think I suffer from an imposter syndrome where I'm kind of thinking, like, are these mine? You know, and that's the most honest I can be with it.
Okay, there is a lot to break down in this one. There's two parts. There's the imposter syndrome of motherhood and the absolute exhaustion of being sleep deprived. Let's start with the imposter syndrome. I have been a mother for 7.5 years and I still don't feel like a mother. And I often think about this. I'm almost 40, I'm 38. And part of me still feels like I'm 21. And I often sit back and go, who is letting me have these tiny human beings? Like, where are the adults in the room? And there's kind of a shock when you realize you are the adult. Oh, it's me. And why am I in charge? And I struggled with it for a long time, particularly when you have to make decisions. I even found it hard going to a parent-teacher meeting recently in school. It's like, oh, I'm the adult now. Oh, I'm the mother. I still feel like I'm the student and I'm the little girl at school. So I don't know. I think a lot of us feel like that as mums, as women. I feel like I remember turning like 28, 29. Now suddenly I've woken up and I'm 38 with three children. Like, who gave them to me? How did this happen? So I think the key to kind of feeling more like a mother, whatever that feels like, is to redefine again. Well, what is a mother? Because I guarantee a lot of this imposter syndrome is driven by what we believe a mother to be, our belief system, and what we've seen on TV. Like, for me, back in the day, even a year or two into motherhood, I thought a mother was someone, you know, she was baking, there was arts and crafts, you know, she was running around on the grass with her children, she was always there. It's just not me, right? It's just not me. So I had to redefine what a mother is to me and what it looks like and kind of unlearn all of the shoulds, all of the things I thought it would be. So that's one thing I'd really recommend. Write down what you believe a mother to be and where's the gap? Because you are a mother. You're doing it, whether you feel like it or not. You are a mother and there's these little people who are relying on you and you are doing it. So it's just a gap between what you thought it might look and feel like versus what it is. The second piece, oh my goodness, the sleep deprivation. Hand on heart, for me, that is the part I struggle with most in motherhood. Now, my children are getting a little bit older. I have a 7-year-old, 3-year-old, 2-year-old. 3-year-old still wakes at night. He's autistic. He wants his baba. I'm still in and out each night. But definitely in those early days, it's the part I struggled with the most. And this is how I navigate it. And this is what I suggest to all of my clients who are navigating it. We all have energy. There's our physical energy and there's our mental energy. Obviously, when you are sleep deprived, your physical energy is on the floor. I don't have a magic wand to fix that. I wish I did. I'm sorry. It's going to continue like that. But how to balance it out is with your mental energy. And that's about finding something that maybe excites you a little bit, something that maybe gets your interest, That could be one way of doing it. Another thing is maybe the acceptance, right? And what do I mean by the acceptance? When my first was born, he woke every 20 minutes. I fought it. I hated it. When my second was born, I was a little bit better. I sort of thought, okay, this will pass. I can engage with a sleep consultant in a couple of months. When Anna was born, I 100% leaned into it and accepted it. Every single night feed, I rewatched Grey's Anatomy. So she woke, I knew we're going to be awake for at least an hour here between all of it. I'm just going to get into Grey's Anatomy. And it made such a difference. I was still physically exhausted, but I wasn't fighting it. The third thing you can do is reduce all of the expectations you're placing on yourself. Cut the corners. Figure out what needs to change or happen in your life in this hard chapter so that you can preserve your energy. So do you need to ask for support? In the absence of support, can you cut corners in your home? Can you lean into a bit of processed food? Are you placing expectations on yourself that maybe are not fair? Because at the end of the day, this is a chapter. You will sleep again. But right now, your most precious asset is energy. So try to preserve it in whatever way you can and try to increase it by maybe getting excited about something. Get lost in a favorite TV show. Stop thinking about how little sleep you're getting. I really hope that helps. Okay, let's listen to the next confession.
I'm a mum to a 2-year-old boy and I'm pregnant. And I recently found out that this baby is also a boy and I'm absolutely gutted. And I know I should be happy and grateful that all that matters is that we have a healthy baby. But I never thought I'd be a mum to boys. I always imagined girls. And if I'm being really honest, I wasn't even sure I wanted a second baby. But we did it because I wanted a chance to have a girl. I don't think we can have a third baby for many reasons. And I literally spent days crying. I feel like I'm grieving a little girl that I never had. I also feel huge guilt because I love my little boy and I also love this little boy, but I can't help feeling so sad about it and I feel like a terrible person.
This is a really important one, and this is actually something I have personally experienced and I hear it a lot. So let's break it down. First of all, it's completely normal and okay to have these feelings when you find out if you're having a little baby boy or a little baby girl. There's no right or wrong way to feel. On a personal level, when I found out I was pregnant 8 years ago, I always imagined I'd have girls. Every baby I was ever around was a girl. My mother minded kids growing up. It was always girls. And it's quite bizarre looking back now. I just assumed I get pregnant, I have a girl. It didn't even enter my brain that I would have a boy. So as you can imagine, found out I was having a little boy at around the 20-week scan, had to go back to work, and literally my stomach sank. I remember like the consultant doing the scan and he said, oh, there's a little, it's a boy, right? And I couldn't actually hold it in. It was like a train had knocked me over. I went back to work. I couldn't concentrate. I went home. It was a Friday. And I actually cried for most of the weekend. And that is me being completely honest. And it wasn't because I didn't want to have a baby boy or I didn't love this baby. It's because I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be a mother to little boys. I remember ringing my mom and she's like, what is it? And I was like, it's a boy. And she was like, but how? Like literally, she was as shocked as me. She's almost like, how did this happen? How is there a baby boy in your tummy? And I felt this huge guilt and it took me a long time to work through it. And needless to say, when my little boy was born, I loved him and he's amazing. And then I went on to have a second baby and I won't lie, I was like, this is my chance to have a girl. Found out he was a little boy. In fact, I could see it on the screen before the consultant said it. And it was kind of a different feeling this time. It was kind of, right, but this is your last baby, Laura. You were just obviously meant to be a mum to boys. So I just want to put that out there. I felt it. I know how it feels. And we need to normalize it because there's nothing wrong with it. So here's what you can do to try and navigate this. I think the first thing is to recognize that this is a grieving process. And I am using the word grief because what is probably happening here is maybe something similar to me, where you had an idea of, I'm going to be a mum to girls. I'm going to have a daughter. Maybe you visualize that. So I think it's okay to recognize I'm grieving that idea. I'm grieving that experience that I may now never have. And that's okay, because until you give yourself permission to accept that it's grief, you're not going to be able to give yourself what you need to move past it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is just be, I suppose, kind and compassionate to yourself. What do you need to feel okay about this? Because you've said it, of course you're going to love this baby. He's going to be a gorgeous little boy. It's just different to what you imagined. So what do you need between now and when your little boy arrives to start getting excited about this? Is it about doing something really silly and small, like going out and buying fabulous little boy clothes, or all of the things I wanted to do with girls that I didn't think I could do? And the third thing is kind of in line with that. Imagine that you had a little girl. What are the things you imagine doing with her? What are the experiences you thought you would have? And why can't they happen with your little boy? And again, it's one of these subjects that we have to normalize, because there's this sense of, oh, I can't say I have gender disappointment because, oh my goodness, I'll be a really ungrateful mother. You know, I should be grateful that I'm pregnant. Of course, we get that. I get that there's so many women who cannot conceive or who struggle to get pregnant. But you can have this disappointment and be grateful and still love your baby. So please don't feel bad about it. You're not doing anything wrong. It's a normal emotion. Recognize you're grieving. Give yourself what you need and just start getting excited about the little baby boy that's on the way. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. As a busy mom of three, on the days I need a little extra support, I always reach for Rescue Remedy. Trusted for over 80 years, the formula is the same today as when it was developed more than 80 years ago, with the unique combination of 5 batch original flower essences. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during the days when your reserves might be running low. And if, like me, you sometimes find it hard to get a full night of sleep, I like to reach for the Rescue Night Range, which contains white chestnut to help switch off from a racing mind and allow for more restful sleep. And Rescue Night is free from sedatives with no side effects or grogginess the next morning. Rescue Remedy is available from health stores and pharmacies nationwide and also in Super Value and Tesco. As we're now halfway through this week's episode, if you think you would like to share your mum fashion with me and get a little bit of support with it, please feel free to email it to mindmommycoaching@gmail.com or come and say hi on my Instagram page at mindmommycoaching. Okay, what have we got next?
Hi, Laura. So my mum fashion, or my what I struggle with in terms of motherhood, I think would be the judgment and the guilt hand in hand. So the judgment that I have on myself to be able to do everything all the time, which then leads to basically running out of energy and then not being able to do anything, not being able to think, not being able to cope mentally or physically. I have to kind of get to that point before I realize that you don't have to do it all. But the expectation, the judgment and the guilt are there all the time to be able to do it all.
This is also a big one. So I'm going to break it down. First of all, girls, and I said this, I think, on previous episodes, we can do anything, but we cannot do everything. There has never been a higher expectation placed on mothers to do it all. Whatever do it all means, I still don't know. But it's there. It's a pressure. And it's a pressure that needs to change and go away. Because when we constantly feel like we need to do it all or do everything, we're not recognizing everything that we are doing. We're beating ourselves up for not doing 20 things when actually we're achieving 5 things. I actually thought about this recently and had a chat with my friend about it. And sorry to all the men out there, but sorry, not sorry. We were having a conversation about our partners and our husbands, and it was coming back to the mental load again and how we're just feeling so exhausted. We're constantly doing stuff. And I kind of leaned into men and their careers. I know this is slightly separate to the voice note, but stick with me. And how there was kind of a frustration there, how our husbands have kind of excelled in their career and have done well, and we feel like there's something in our way. And she kind of said to me, but maybe men are just better at this. Maybe men are just better at doing it all. And straight away, a rage came over me. And I said, no, it's not that they're better at doing it all. Actually, in fact, women statistically are better at multitasking. The problem is, and this is a sweeping statement here, and I know not every man does this or every dad, a man might have 5 things to do in a day, and he gets those 5 things done. And everyone's congratulating him. Well done. Isn't he amazing? He's great at doing it all. A mother might have 20 things to do in a day, and we're getting 7 or 8 things done, and we feel like we're failing. And society is thinking, wow, she's under pressure. Oh, she's not on her game in her career today. She's not doing this or that. But we're doing more, but yet we feel like we're doing less, or we feel like we're not doing enough. So here is what I would say to this lovely mum. Redefine what doing it all means. Right? It sounds like the expectations you are placing on yourself is coming from yourself, okay? But it's not just coming from you. It's coming from all of the narrative, all of like the media, everything around like the busy mom, the doing it all, the having everything in gear and working. It's nonsense. Nobody can do it all. I spoke about this recently on my Instagram page, how right now I'm incredibly busy at work with Mind Mommy Coaching, with this podcast. When I'm like this, I can't give myself to my children. I can't give myself to my friends. My house is upside down and inside out. And that's okay because I cannot do everything. I have to strategically think, what's my focus going on this week? If I try to do it all, I get nothing done, right? So figure out what doing it all means to you and shift that to, what do I need to do? What do I want to do? And remove all the shoulds. Because you are at a busy stage of life. Your energy is low. Your time is low. You can't do everything. So think about what's important in your life. What needs to happen? What do I want to happen? And how can I get rid of the shoulds? How can I start cutting corners? How can I ditch the shoulds? How can I just do what's important to me? And finally, let go of this nonsense that mothers can do everything, because we're doing enough. We're really bloody busy and we're doing more than we think. And I promise, when you shift that perception and stop giving out to yourself for not doing 20 things and start congratulating yourself for the 7 amazing things you've done, you're going to instantly feel better. If you've been listening and following this podcast all along, I really hope you're starting to see some patterns, and that as I answer each momfession, that you're almost knowing what the answer might be. What I would really love for you to do is maybe for next week's episode, grab a pen and paper and start taking notes. Really try and get the most from this. But as we leave today, what I would really love for you to do is consider these questions. What one thing are you taking away from today's episode? Maybe it's a question. Maybe it's something about yourself. What one thing are you taking away? What one tiny thing are you going to do differently this week? It could be the way you talk to yourself. It could be the way you interact with people. It could be the expectations. It can be tiny. And the final question is, if you were talking to a mum right now who was feeling like you're feeling, what one thing would you say to her? Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you found today's episode helpful. Please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise you they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy. It's essential. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. Momfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the podcast production assistant was Abby Sandler. This podcast was recorded in Take 9 Studios in Cork.